Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
College football has the only regular season in any sport that still matters. We are laser-locked on ruining that. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Hope wherever you are, it's just a great day into the evening, wherever you are right now. Whatever time of day it is when you're listening, maybe it's on the podcast, maybe it's on the app, et cetera. I appreciate everybody getting in, wherever it is, footprint or beyond. I believe we have listeners in all 50 states, actually. We do, and beyond borders. So that's the cool thing about the podcast and the app. So thepodcastpark.com or wherever you get your podcast, all you got to do is click subscribe, and it just shows up at that point. So good for you. Said college football has the only regular season in any sport, pro, whatever, that still matters. And when I say we're laser locked on ruining that, it is the collective we, and it's the part of we, like if you have the pie chart or pie graph, I can never keep those straight. There is the collective we means whether you want playoffs to expand or not, you're going to get that. Now, the tough part is if you looked at everyone with any interest on any level, even like the Coca-Cola vendor in college football, if you took their pulse and said, hey, what do you feel about playoff expansion? It would not be a universal response. There would be ones and tens and folks spread out everywhere and amongst the middle. Here's the kick in the pants, though, if you are on the side of the crowd that says, we don't need expansion. We didn't need four to begin with, up to six or eight, et cetera. There's this real narrow slice of that pie. And I said, anyone who has any interest in college football, I don't know how many people that is, like 85 million people maybe. Some level, business, professional, I play, I coach, I cut the grass, and if they don't play, I lose the contract. I don't know, bunch of millions of people. There are like four who actually matter. Out of all the millions and millions and millions of people who have any level of interest in college football, right now there are four people who really matter. Greg Sankey's one of them. It's Sankey. Dan, have you seen this list? It's Sankey, Bowlesby, dude from the Mountain West, and Notre Dame, Swarbrick, right?
Yeah.
You got a four-member committee. And they actually have now been given recommendations from the other committee. And here's what's not going to happen. Greg Sankey is not going to be staying up late at night with one of those banker's lamps and a magnifying glass going over TV ratings for a Fresno State game to see, well, now if we can get the Bulldogs in, what does that do to the numbers? There is someone doing that, and there's actually a lot of someone's doing that. And it's happening in Birmingham, and it's happening in Indianapolis. That's the NCAA home. It's happening wherever. Wherever you got a conference headquarter. So all that work's being done by the underlings or the contracted firm that you bring in. There was an undercommittee with the NCAA who has been meeting and talking and exploring every scenario. And that's a bunch of people. Four. It's a different four. And underneath them, a lot of assistants and technical advisors and what, and so they're all generating all this information. So this other four-person committee could look at the Greg Sankey-ish level of people who are not going to do that elbow grease sort of work and say, all right, we've done all the grind. Y'all are the high-level deciders. So here are our boiled-down results. Y'all decide if it stays at 4, if it goes to 6, 8, 12, you know, whatever. Here are all the scenarios of the likely outcomes. Now y'all do what y'all do. And so people like Sankey and Bowlesby and Mountain West guy, and is it Thompson or does that – Craig Thompson? It used to be Craig Thompson. There's a chance I just made that name up. So if you are Craig Thompson and you're not the Mountain West commissioner, no offense. But and Swarbrick, they're going to look at the boiled down not even recommendations. Was it Craig Thompson? Look at me.
Craig David Thompson.
It's almost like I do this every day, year-round. So – I got to tell you, remind me, don't let me end the show today without me telling you about the number one source I have ever had anywhere in the sport was from the Mountain West Conference office. So remind me to bring that up. Anyway, so they get these not even recommendations. They're not. They are at each of these scenarios. Here's what's likely to happen. Now, y'all choose what you think is important. The playoff expansion conversation involves only two questions now: when and by how much. I am guessing 8, but I have to tell you that I'm hoping 8. I am on, there are like 17 different groups of people. I am one that I referenced yesterday. 4, whatever, just keep it at 4 if that's what it's going to be, but I cross my fingers and toes for 6. As a concession, I'll take 8 and be real happy. 8 is what I'm hoping for, and I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm going to say I'm guessing 8. I'm hoping 8. And even under the unrealistic scenario, how about this, folks, where we, quote, only double the playoff field. Don't triple it. We only double it. Can we think about how things might have been different when we went from the two-team playoff, which was the BCS era? That was two-team, like Florida State and Tennessee, you know what that was? That was a two-team playoff bracket. Oregon and Auburn, two-team playoff bracket. Then we went to 4, and now it's going to whatever it is. But think back. Think about that Georgia-Bama SEC championship game where you had to win. And now, not really. When I say that the college football regular season is the only one in any sport that really matters, think about Bama and Georgia. Bama wins on to the national championship. Georgia didn't win that day. Like, I don't know, noon kick in Orlando. The 2006 Ohio State-Michigan game, oh my, I'm not a fan of either one of those schools. And I don't even really like either one of them. I liked them that day. You know why? Because I sat down, turned on my TV without paying a dollar. I got entertained for about 3.5 hours. Points aplenty, man. 1 versus 2. 11-0 versus 11-0. If it were to happen like Missouri and Arkansas, Dan, they finished the season together. Okay. If somehow Missouri and Arkansas are 11-0 and 11-0, okay, I'm kind of in. But you have to remind Arkansas and Missouri fans, hey, y'all don't like each other. Could you drum it up a little for the game? Ohio State, Michigan? Yeah, you don't have to instruct anybody. 1 versus 2, 11-0 versus 11-0. Win, and you can be national champion. Lose, enjoy the trip to Disneyland, seeing if your offensive lineman can eat more at Fogo de Chão than the Stanford offensive lineman. That literally was the stakes for an 11-0 Michigan team. And I mean, they came thumb, finger, half inch. They came that close to beating Ohio State that day. It was 42-39. A great, 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 great Michigan team. Enjoy the bowl trip. Oh, yeah. No, we're going to play for a national championship because we are 3 points better than you. Go look at the SEC championship game history. Go look at the Ohio State-Michigan game history. See, it's always important. They've played 100. I'll go back to 2010 because that's the figures that I could go through today. Didn't have time. 106 meetings through 2010. 22 of them, that game decided either Michigan or Ohio State would be conference champion. 27 other times, the winner either leapfrogged a different team or knocked the leader out of winning the championship. You played 106 years, almost half of them, that game determined the conference championship. And then you amped it up even more with the national title spot on the line? What are you doing to that game now? You're going, oh, Michigan, if you lose, it's okay. What do you mean it's okay? You're in anyway. Oh, really? Sweat off my brow. Folks, it is a setup to take away the best games you've ever seen. Because I'm talking strictly as a fan, I got zero use for the Big Ten. A bunch of kids in desperate need of a vowel, wearing black cleats, running 4.740s. Now, that's not true, but if you live in the South and watch SEC football, what do you think about the Big Ten? You think it's a bunch of guys whose last name has 11 letters in it, and like Z and K and X together. Black cleats. Boom, 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 boom. It's a team full of mummies. That's what your view of the Big Ten is. I literally had popcorn that day and a diet raspberry ginger ale, and I sat on the couch and I couldn't get enough of that. It was fantastic. 18 playoff?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I don't believe that the portal should be open during the season. That leads to emotional and rash decisions on both sides, coaches and players. You know, you don't play in a game on Sunday, you know, you're mad at the world and you just want to leave and you leave.
That is true. That does happen. That's Joel Klatt. He is a former Colorado quarterback, but at this point, I'm going to guess here, that's been 10 years or maybe more. He's with Fox. And I would say this about Joel Klatt, because Fox has a lot of the Pac-12 coverage. And they have other games as well. But Pac-12 is what I normally am flipping over. I'm like, oh, Washington State's on. Okay. And then Joel Klatt's on at like halftime. And he always has something to say, and it's kind of interesting most times what he's saying. Like I said, I'm not like – and so I deem Joel Klatt worthy of working in the industry. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are guys who you can look at who come to mind. Hey, give me somebody who talks college football. Oh, he got something to say. And maybe it has gone past interesting to – why do you keep saying stuff like that? Danny Cannell has a reputation, I believe, of pots and pans, just banging them together. I would say, and I want to tell like the full story here, because like Clay Travis, I think I've talked to Clay Travis twice in my life, and it was both like a Q&A sort of thing. We were at that SEC network announcement in Atlanta back in 14, and then there was one other time, and it was like, hey, man, did you see this? And no, I didn't. You know, that was that. Don't know him at all. I had gotten an email from somebody like 2 years before Clay kind of went to Fox, I think is where he went, and outkicked the coverage and his website and then leased it to Fox, I think is what he did, leased it.
And somebody was saying, you're trying to be like Clay Travis. And I wrote back an email because people still send emails. This would have been like 2011. And I wrote back, I was like, who's Clay Travis? Don't tell me you don't know who Clay Travis is. I was like, I really don't know who Clay. And he said, well, he's afternoon driving. Or no. He's middays in Nashville and whatever. I was like, I don't know who does radio in Nashville. I don't know who does radio in Richmond, Virginia. I don't know who does radio in Dallas. And I'm not saying that from any sort of air. It's like, I just don't pay attention to it. And so Clay Travis, obviously, he's got something to say always. Pots and pans sometimes. And by the way, can I buy this measuring stick financially? Really expensive pots and pans for Clay Travis. I mean, you talk about reaching the end of the rainbow, man. Didn't he just make another big deal with some sort of, like, Dan, and anybody listening, like I said, when I didn't know who does middays in Nashville, I still don't know who does middays in Nashville only because I don't have my ear to the ground industry-wise, and I never, ever have had actually, like, industry contacts. I can get you a head coach on the phone, but I don't know anybody from, like, Sony Radio or whatever.
Well, it's twofold. Number one, on the radio, get to that in a second, but he did sell Outkick the coverage to Fox.
Okay.
So now Fox has it. He's still got creative control and all that, so that's a good thing for him there. Him and Buck Sexton, conservative talk expert,
mm-hmm.
They are now the new Rush Limbaugh. They took
really?
Over the Rush Limbaugh show.
Okay.
Yes.
I see. And again, that's a big deal. Like, that's a huge deal now that I'm that's as Dan, you're telling me, that's the first I've heard of it. That's the kind of thing I should have heard. I just don't have a lot of interest in the movers and shakers and comings and goings and all that. But he's a guy who his reputation was pots and pans. And I'm telling you, it has paid well for him. But Joel Klatt's one of those guys that it always seems genuine, at least to me, when he talks. He's got something to say. Is it, you know what? Perfect example of this, and he's gotten himself in hot water, especially with that Justin Fields thing. Like Dan Orlovsky, he always seems to have something to say, and it comes off as genuine. It ain't always great because he had said something about, well, I've heard Justin Fields. And then he came back and was like, nope, sorry, more information. I was wrong. It's too late by then. But Dan Orlovsky is a great example. He's always got something interesting to say, and it's not, how can I get people to look at me? I like those men and women in the industry that's kind of how you can describe them.
No hemming or hawing. Have a point. Stay with it. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Die on that hill sometimes, I guess, is the way we look at it. Chuck, you know, we're seeing the thing right now, especially at Georgia, with you had Bear Alexander and I believe now another decommitment for Georgia, whose name at the moment I don't have in front of me. But the point is I think that there's a lot of coaches out there and recruiting staffs that did not truly believe that this was a possibility once the gates were opened again, and once that kids could get the opportunity, hey, USC wants to fly me out to Los Angeles, I get to see that school. Miami wants to bring me down there, I get to see that school. That for these 17, 18, and maybe even in some cases 19-year-old kids are so impressionable, and that you could give them an opportunity to say, huh, well, I've seen Athens, now I get to see Baton Rouge, I get to see Tuscaloosa, I get to see everywhere else, huh. All of a sudden, it seems like I made my decision a little bit too quickly. Again, you're dealing with the imperfect of most imperfect human beings at this point who don't make decisions based on rational thought and going through a process and everything else. More often than not, it's, ooh, I would like this place because I could play here and do all these different types of things, and I look good in the gear. For now, it's an opportunity for these coaches to try to, in a sense, date your partner once again in order to marry them again. And I think if some of them believe that that was not going to be in play for all of this, they were really fooling themselves.
Yeah, if I have the pronunciation correct, it's Deion Bowie.
It is Bowie. That is right. Yes, it is Deion Bowie.
He's an athlete, played like six spots, offense and defense, and he's a five-star, and he's decommitted. He still could go to Georgia, but he's decommitted. And you're right about the reasons. They get to go visit now, and it changes stuff.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
When I go to that little bar at the top of my computer screen where you can type in a website, I type in the letter L, and it offers me LandryFootball.com. I think it does that. Like G, I get Google. W, I get Wikipedia. L, I get LandryFootball.com. Means go there quite a bit, I've told you. Number one site for me, roll out of the rack. Every single morning, I'm going to LandryFootball.com. For me, it's college. For you, it could be college as well. It could be high school recruiting. Could be Super Bowl Sunday. Could be coaches changing jobs, the draft, scouting, whatever it is. I want to welcome him on right now, former coach, scout, administrator, if you can do it for a college program or an NFL franchise. Chris has done it. From LandryFootball.com, it is the namesake, Chris Landry. How are you today, man?
Doing well, buddy. How are you?
Well, we got football. I mean, it's June, which means media days is next month, which means the next month is practice and then it's games. I mean, so the season's here practically.
Yeah, I know it.
All right. Now, and I'm saying that kind of kidding, but I have this routine, Chris, and I'm assuming you do as well, your calendar, because you know every May this kind of opens up for me, every June, et cetera. Well, one of the things I do is I'm like, where's the unexpected division champ? You know, not like the coin flip horse race, you know, is it Texas A&M or Bama? And I asked you last week about, you know, the Atlantic. And in long term, it kind of has to be Florida State because of everything that is in place and recruiting and whatever. I can't get enough of Jeff Hafley. The more I look at BC, and I'm telling you, you had to look for it last year, but it's different, man. And now the weird part is if you didn't watch Boston College last year, for anybody listening, they might have an issue on defense, which I don't think we ever say that very much. Man, I like the look of that team and how they approached it. They played Clemson, Notre Dame, and North Carolina good. I bet Brian Kelly would like his quarterback back now. That's a good-looking squad. They're a contender, I believe.
I think what's interesting about BC is that you kind of look at your program. It's like it's not – it's like, whoa, where's BC? Big back, you know, power offensive line, yep. And – it's okay, but it's not that. And Jeff's done it differently. So I'm very curious to see what he continues to do with the team and the program. And does that mean he gets a little bit more skill guy and do that? Because BC is, I thought BC was good at doing what they did. Now they're going to do something a little different. And, you know, I'm curious to see if they can maintain that success. So, look, I'm with you. Like the quarterback, Blue's a really good tight end. There was more of a blocker. Zay Flowers is really good. Can they get more speed? Can they spread you out and cause you some problems, get into more homes to where they can do some damage with you? You know, three wides regularly BC. I'm like, whoa, what? I don't get it. I don't know. I'm a little bit confused here, but look, I'm with you. I think it's interesting in a conference and in a division where you can make some inroads. Yeah, I think you can do it. It's a little bit of an Indiana feel, or, you know, a Rutgers feel. Can you get to where you're competitive? And you know what? You look at the Atlantic, who is the second best team? You mentioned FSU, but we know Wake is Wake. Syracuse is deemed for the bottom, it appears. Louisville's just not quite sure. Florida State's not ready yet. NC State is what they are. BC's the one that's kind of new, that's kind of shiny. And, hey, what do we have in that program? Because it's a little bit too new to know how sustainable it is. I'm with you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun on that side of the – who else is there besides Clemson? That's what most people say.
All right. There's going to be somebody who takes this, because I'm going to bring up You know, I was like, BC, they could build to something maybe, and they could be interesting. Wake Forest can't build to anything to be a regular, consistent season-to-season contender. That's just not what that program can be. I don't mean to be disrespectful, and if the Deacon fan who listens takes it that way, I apologize in advance. I was talking about Frank Solich yesterday and how he showed up at Ohio U and everybody gets along great. And I think Frank Solich will be the coach there as long as he chooses to be the coach. I get that same sort of feeling from Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. I don't get that he is on any sort of ladder. I think that he is quietly building Wake Forest to be as consistent as that program has been since, I don't know, the 50s or 40s.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's never been first of all, people need to know this, and the ACC fans that are, you know, familiar with the whole tobacco world know this. Yep. I don't know how many people know this in general. That's as small a student population as you have in major college football. Yep. If you take all the part, it's like 3,000. I mean, they got nobody there. If you really and I don't encourage this, if you have your cell phone on your seat and you're driving through and you don't do this, folks, you turn to grab your cell phone to see who might be texting, you just pass Winston-Salem and you think you're Winston-Salem. Your campus is, you just passed it.
Yeah.
I've had coaches that
I've been there. It's this little brick entryway with a little guard tower, and there's this one driveway in and then this asphalt driveway out, and I drove past it.
That's it. And, you know, in the spring, they'll have some flowers. Otherwise, you don't even have that. But, I mean, I had a coach who used to coach there. This is in the old days, like in the 80s. They used to bring – when they used to – kids on visit, they would bring them to Duke. They'd drop them by Duke. It was so close. They didn't know any difference. And because the campus – not much yet. I agree with it. I think Dave's done a good job. I think they're fun. Of course, I thought the same thing about Jim Grobe, and obviously Jim's time came up. So there'll be a time with Dave, but Dave has kind of found his niche. And, you know, it's a place where you don't, because of the small student population, the alumni base, they care, but they don't. They're not big. They're not passionate. They're not going to spend a lot of money to buy you out. Now, they're also not going to give you the biggest money for your staff, but there's security there for coaches. It's kind of like having a really good high school job where you don't have to move. You can raise a family there. And if you're not one of these guys that are looking for the next great job, an assistant coach or head coach, you could be there for 15 years before you know it. That's what Wake is. That's what Wake can be. And it's just, are they going to finish 7th, 6th, 5th, or, you know, maybe something weird happens and they finish 4th, or even better, because that whole division outside of Clemson, you can flip it around, and 7 could be 2, and 2 could be 7, and not, you know, too much of an issue. And until Florida State has a couple more, you know, years under their belt, then I think you're going to see a consistent drop-off between, you know, 1 and then a drop-off, then it's Florida State, then a drop-off, then it's the rest. Right now, it's still kind of wide open. So 2 is still up for grabs in that division.
Bump over to the Coastal to see who will play Clemson and Charlotte. And after North Carolina and Miami, because we know it's about the quarterbacks, and I will assume with D'Eriq's knee, so Miami and North Carolina, QB-wise, they're set. Virginia Tech, Pitt, and Virginia, any one of those three teams, I could see winning the division this year, but they've got to have their quarterback either emerge or step up. In a case like Kenny Pickett, I mean, that guy has played a lot of football. But any one of those three teams could win the Coastal if their quarterback has a season that will kind of at least put them in contention numbers-wise with maybe Miami or North Carolina.
I agree. I mean, obviously the difference there in the Coastal is that the ceiling without a Clemson in it, it's just more attainable. I mean, I do think that, you know, I think the wild card team is Virginia Tech. Please explain them to me, because I highly recommended Justin Fuente to them. I am a bit perplexed that they're not any better than they are. Virginia Tech is not sustainable to do what they did when Michael Vick was there, but they're the sustainability and the consistency of that program, it should be further along than they are. And in this current environment, to have North Carolina come in and just kind of basically kick everybody to the curb, not Miami, but like we're just immediately better than you are. It's kind of a slap in the face to what they're doing in Blacksburg. That's the one that's intriguing. We know what Mac's doing. Long term, we'll see what the succession plan is. Recruiting well, a lot of speed. It'll play to a lot of young guys. Miami, I'm just not sold on their consistency. It's the up and down. I'm hoping for some stability. They don't recruit like they did in the old days. So please stop with it. Is Miami back? Back to what? Back to respectability, competitiveness? Let's hope so. But they're not elite level. So I'm with you. And, you know, Pitt is one of those places that you think could also be good. They are a better version of what, like we talked about with BC, what BC used to be. They've got more access to players.
Yeah.
You would think Pitt could be more consistent. You could get some transfer guys, and you can get a lot of those players in that area. And if you develop them well, there's a lot of those quote-unquote three-star guys that can end up playing at the next level that's really good. Why is there not more consistency out of that program? They look a lot like, stylistically, like BC used to look. And I don't know that, you know, they obviously are not changing like we before mentioned BC. So they're just kind of in there, and you're right. Where can they finish? Well, they're going to be what they are. North Carolina, Miami, more speed, more ability to win games in different ways, and probably has a little bit higher ceiling. Pitt's just kind of around. If you want to screw things up, they'll just kind of be there. And if you have a 3 or 4 loss team that wins a division, it very well might be Pitt. That's kind of how I see Pitt. And I think they should be a little bit better than they are. Not what they were with the Johnny Majors and Jackie Sherrill in those days, but I think that's a program that hasn't taken advantage of it. And I think they lost a little bit of their identity, you know, not being a Big East type of program anymore. I don't think they've identified quite as well in the ACC. And I think a lot of the kids there, I think it's hurt their recruiting some.
Yeah. And for anybody, you want to go have a nice little project, say if you're under the age of about 45 or so, go look at Pitt's history from about 75 through about 85 or so. Like, this is when the Gator Bowl could still get a one loss team. All right. And so, mm-hmm. so, I mean, Pitt was just outstanding and the best player.
Let's remind the folks.
The NFL went to Pitt for it, man.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you there. And for the older folks, you study your history, this is a program that when they won like 7 national championships in the 30s, they were like a power in the East before Penn State was. This is where you had some of the elite coaches in the Ivy League that, you know, went into Pitt and before they started to move a little bit out west. So, yeah, Pitt's got a great history, and it's unique. It's a pro town, and they got the most unique facility because it's a big facility. And, folks, it is cut in half like a birthday cake that goes, you know, half chocolate and half lemon. I mean, it's like it's Steelers on one side and it's the Panthers on the other, and you literally it's the same big building. But they don't have that. Their identity in the ACC is just not quite where I think it's really kind of hurt recruiting, kind of like it's affected Colorado's recruiting since they're no longer a real presence in the Big 12 and they're more Pac-12. They're not, the identity is not quite the same.
And the Pitt-Penn State game that has basically gone away, it was the day after Thanksgiving, and it was blood sport. So,
oh, man. I mean, in all his undefeated teams and then Jackie's teams and all that kind of stuff, it was just unbelievable. And then you had the recruiting wars. Remember the whole Joe Paterno quote when they asked him about, you ever thought about going to the NFL? And he says, what? And leave college football to the Barry Switzers and Jackie Sherrills of the world. And then in 2 days later, he apologized to Barry Switzer.
Let you know how deep it runs. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, jump into the Southeastern Conference. That's next with Chris Landry on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, if it's hour one, it's Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Folks, get yourself a membership. Now, I'll never tell people how to spend their money. I know I will. If you're a football fan, let me say that. If you're a football fan, get your membership. It's worth every dollar. You get it every single day. Dynamic, updated content, season, out of season, draft, coaching changes, doesn't matter. Chris, let's jump into it with the Southeastern Conference. And I fully concede. I'm a guy on the radio. Bo Pelini, compared to him, I know a thimbleful about defense. But the weird thing is, I know about Bo. He ain't going to chess match you, okay? He's going to lean on the talent, let's say. What do you expect from Durante? Because there was just way too much leaning on the talent last year. And to me, when you see great players who are consistently out of position, that is coaching. That's stubbornness.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can – have the idea that we're at an elite place and we're going to recruit. We've got, and it's the most talented secondary in the country this year. And it has at LSU, and it has been before. And it's great to say, we're going to play press man. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be aggressive. But when you rely upon that, and everybody thinks it was too complicated. No, it was just too focused on one area and not broad enough to be able to make adjustments. And I think that's the issue. So the communication with the safeties and how you played at the safety position was the biggest problem they had in coverage. And I think going forward, I think you'll see a little bit more of a mixture of what they'll do with their front, different ideas, less stubbornness out of the coaches because they're young coaches. So I think some things will be cleaned up. But I think let's be honest. It wasn't their first, second, or third choice defense. It doesn't mean it's not going for coordinator. Does not mean it's not going to work out. But no, there's a lot of focus on LSU this year on how it's going to be. Look, it's real simple, and it's the most obvious thing to say that they won't be as bad as they were last year, and they won't be as good as they were 2 years ago. Well, good luck. There's an ingenious statement. Of course it's going to be that. But how is it going to look? How are they going to adjust? What type of discipline? I think there are a lot of things because this is a team that could have a pretty good year from a personnel standpoint. From a roster standpoint, they're still second best in the West. They are not the second best coach team in the West. They're not. So where are they going to be this year? Are you going to see them play clean football, smart, adjust, play up to their talent level on a consistent basis, less blown assignments, less mental errors, discipline areas, or if it starts to unravel a little bit, then is it going to go really bad? Because there's a lot of stuff off the field administratively that right now the head coach is protected from because there's still a lot of belief that, look, 2 years ago he won. If things go well, he'll be protected. If things don't go well, then there's going to be a lot of finger pointing because there's a lot of people that are questioning whether he can be the consistent type of force at LSU. And I think this year is not going to answer all the questions. It's going to answer it for this year. But it's going to determine, I think, his short-term future at LSU, which is not a certainty that he's going to be back beyond this year. Maybe it's a probability, but not a certainty.
Give me a quick flyover, if you have an expectation already, of how you expect the Texas A&M quarterback position to shake out in August, and what do you think that offense is going to look like? Are they going to try and mash?
Well, I think that they're – first of all, I think they're talented at receiver, but they're inexperienced. I think that they will with Haynes King, and I think he'll be the guy. I think they'll run the football well. I think Spiller's outstanding. They're with Jimbo. They're going to have an emphasis on running the football, offensive line play, and then I think that what they do with the quarterback is simplify things to give them some easy reads and some playmaking ability, like the tight end. I think he's as good as any in the SEC. So we'll see what Weidmeier can do. I think they'll be very solid. I think the offense will eventually become a little bit more explosive as the year goes along. So, look, I'm excited to see what they can do and where this goes. I think they'll start off, you know, very well. I think they'll be unbeaten going into the October 9th game. And then how do they deal with that? It's going to be intriguing. I think that they've got more talent than anybody on their schedule right now, other than Alabama. And as I said, LSU's probably got a little bit more. But A&M has got a really good chance to finish second in the West, and I'm curious to see what they do.
Last thing for you, and it's more, I guess, house cleaning maybe. Brandon Turnage, do you have any information about his status? Because there was a little bit of a question that popped up.
Yeah, I don't have an update on it, and I'm curious to see where things will go with it because I think he's a talented guy, and I'm curious to see how this plays out. But, yeah, I'm aware of the situation. I just don't have any updates on it.
That makes me feel good. If I don't know and Chris doesn't know it either, I don't feel lame. All right, well, one thing you do know, tell folks how to get in touch with Chris Landry and LandryFootball.com and what we're going to get there. We've got about 45 seconds.
Absolutely. Breakdown. So right now we're working on a lot of college previews. We're going to go up pretty quick here because I've been doing a lot of film work. So you get, for example, all the updated information from the end of the season. You're having a hard time tracking how each school, who left, who's coming in. We got you covered there. We give you a projected depth chart. We give you a breakdown of who is the top offensive, defensive, and special teams players from last year's team. You know who's coming back. You know who's not. That gives you a good feel. A complete evaluation of the incoming class, a complete breakdown of the offense, complete breakdown of the defense, complete breakdown of the special teams, and then a final analysis of the schedule and how things may play out. If you were to break it down, it'd probably be about a dozen to 15 pages on each school. It gives you all the information that you want from a coaching and scouting perspective. Our notebooks every day, college, NFL, one-stop shopping football. Check it out today.
It's like $5 a month, folks. Get that annual subscription. LandryFootball.com. Chris, 7 more days. We'll do it again.
Thank you so much, buddy.
All right, again, Chris Landry. And like I said, it is one of two sites, and I don't get endorsements from any of this. I don't get paid for it, but two sites that I pay for. I have a subscription at The Athletic, and I got a subscription at LandryFootball.com, and so I pay for those two, and I get a lot of information and opinions. I'll put it that way. Don't have to agree with all of them, but you get it.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.